Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to the channel once more. Anyway, so I'm going to analyse what happened in the wee hours of this morning, which is a Russian tanker was hit by the Ukrainians in the Kerch Strait. They managed to hit the engine room of the tanker, which is probably the best place to hit it, as in to immobilise it, to get the fuel tank, and blow it sky high. So, a precision strike from them. I don't know if they were aiming at the fuel tank instead. This was incidentally a chemical tank. It was not an oil tanker. The Kerch Strait is the narrow stretch of water. If Crimea is here, and then mainland Russia is there. It's just in between my two middle fingers. And there's the Kerch Strait bridge across it. I remember the first truck that was driven across that, I think in 2018, was by President Putin himself. It cost an awful lot of money. They're very proud of this, think it's a real feat of engineering. So it links illegally occupied Crimea to Russia. And there's a road bridge and there's a rail bridge. And the road bridge certainly was closed for about 3 hours to traffic. They're very worried about this. Some tugboats went out to assist the ship. I don't know if it actually was immobilized or not. So it shows the Ukrainians are willing to hit civilian vessels. Up until now, they've not struck merchant ships. So this is escalatory, of course. They also point out that the Russians have been hitting civilian assets since day one of this war, bombing schools and clinics and hospitals and things like that, and electricity infrastructure. Now, admittedly, you might say hitting electricity infrastructure is permissible in war because the trains run on electricity. Therefore, you can take the Ukrainian military off the railways, and a lot of their troops and munitions travel by rail. But it also deprives civilians of electricity and therefore heating. So there's a blurred line between what's military, what's civilian. It needed some defuzzification. This is definitely civilian. And I suppose the strategy here is to wreck the Russian economy, which is already suffering significantly. I was reading this morning about how their military budget is more or less doubled this year. It's going to be something like $90 billion. By way of comparison, the United Kingdom is about $60 billion. Now, maybe Russia has doubled the population and is at war. The Russian salaries are much, much lower. Their equipment's much cheaper. So it shows what the cost of the war is. They're just having to produce loads of ammunition. The Ukrainians might say, well, why wouldn't you do it? We're going to hit civilian targets if you did it. You've done it far, far more. We're not wantonly killing civilians or anything like that. Now, Russian sources published all this, but you can get into big trouble, up to 15 years in jail for publishing anything about the so-called special military operation in the Russian Federation if it doesn't come from official Russian military sources. So why would they say it if it weren't true? I don't see any reason to doubt it. It appears to be that these unmanned vessels, these sea drones, as it were, they carried out this attack again. The Kerch Strait, there's a town of Kerch, the extreme eastern tip of Crimea, and it's close to Russia's Taman Peninsula. So there was some sort of explosion. So the tanker was called the Sieg tank. It's already under American sanctions of having delivered jet fuel to Bashar al-Assad's genocidal regime in Syria. What else? Nobody was killed, apparently. Some of the crew, the 11 crew, were injured by broken glass. Of course, this is mostly coming from TASS now and the Marine Rescue Coordination Center. I don't know how true that is, but the ship didn't sink. But this was actually a rather reckless move by the Ukrainians, because if that ship had sunk and all the chemicals had leaked, I don't know what damage it would have done to the ecological system. It could have been catastrophic. It could have killed a lot of marine life, might have been comparable to an oil slick. Are they lashing out? They might have hacked off their other Black Sea neighbours, the other countries of the littoral on the Black Sea, of course, Romania, Bulgaria, Turkey and Georgia. Now, Romania, Bulgaria and Turkey are all members of NATO. Bulgaria and Romania also members of the European Union, and they're arming and funding. The Ukrainians are playing host to at least tens of thousands of Ukrainian refugees. I see Ukrainian cars all over Bulgaria. the vessel has supposedly been towed into port. So it means that commerce is going to be much more difficult for Russia in the Black Sea. They know that their ships are in danger, and they ship a lot of their goods out via the Black Sea and via the Bosphorus, which is that waterway that flows through Istanbul, Turkey. And so as the Black Sea has been effectively closed to Ukrainian trade, it may well be closed to Russian trade as well. And that is a major headache. Is Ukraine going to go so far as to try and stop oil tankers sailing out of Novorossiysk? Because that would deprive Russia of a lot of money. The trouble is it would drive up oil prices and gas prices. And you know, Ukraine's Western backers, they don't want to pay even more for oil and gas than they already are. I mean, it was eye-wateringly expensive about a year and a half ago. It has come down considerably, but it could push it back up. But Ukraine might say, well, this is the only way to defeat Russia, defeat them financially. As often said, in summer 2024, we'll come to crunch time, and there might be a bit of a balance of payments crisis in Russia. It's also the time that the Republican Party in the United States, and indeed the Democrats, are going to nominate their presidential candidate. Of course, for the Democrats, it's almost certainly going to be Joe Biden. If he's alive then, I'm going to give him about a 95% chance of being alive. The Republicans, it looks, is like it's likely to be Trump. Is he going to be alive then? I give him maybe a 90% chance of still being alive. And then what's the outcome of the 2024 election in the United States? If it's Biden, presumably continue the same policy. If it's Trump, probably reduce aid at least. The other wild card is this Ukrainian counteroffensive going to succeed? And by succeed, I mean getting to the Sea of Azov and holding it, because that's what they appear to be aiming at. They've made most ground down in the direction of Mariupol, but they've only gone forward about 10 miles in 2 months, about 100 miles left to go. And at this rate, but there's no weather closed in 3.5 months, they were gone ahead 20 miles at best, leaving another 80 miles to the sea. Now, things could change. They could have a sudden breakthrough. There could be a rout the Russians, the Ukrainians might commit all their forces to one drive, and they might actually make it. But if they make it to Azov, do they manage to hold on, not get pushed out by the Russians? So that's it. The other thing we've learned from this war is the Russian army is fairly rubbish at attacking, but actually rather good at defending, and maybe getting better. So it's increasingly difficult for the Ukrainians to make serious headway. And they're also attacking the Bakhmut direction, gone forward about 10 miles. So this people manage expectations that this counteroffensive is going to be bloody. It's not going to be easy or quick, and indeed it isn't. But it's maybe been even less successful than people were led to anticipate. Nevertheless, it is true they have gained ground. Their casualties have not been horrific. They've inflicted significant casualties on the Russians. So I'm sure this won't be the last attack on a Russian civilian vessel in the Black Sea or the Sea of Azov by the Ukrainians. Now, no doubt Moscow will fulminate that this is outrageous, an act of terrorism, piracy on the high seas, and be all very sanctimonious about it. But, you know, they're obviously extremely hypocritical. But it is true that Ukraine has deliberately attacked a civilian vessel, although in a full-scale war, that's not uncommon. Is it lawful? I would guess that it is. You know, I'm not a lawyer, certainly not an expert in international law. It's been practiced by both sides in most wars, and often they haven't complained about it and said that all's fair in love and war. Well, thank you so much for watching my channel. So make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com, because I urgently need donations to keep this channel going. Thank you for your time and viewing. All right, goodbye, everyone.